Six detainees were transferred from Guantanamo Bay to Uruguay this weekend, the largest group to leave the prison in 5 years and the first ever relocated to South America. Still remaining are 136 detainees, around half of whom have been cleared for release. How does this release bear on the possible fate of the remaining detainees and the ups and downs of the policies of the Obama administration regarding Gitmo? Joining us is Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Karen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So what do we know about these six? And, you know, are they in Uruguay happily, or what do we think is going on?
Well, I think getting out of Guantanamo is a major point in their lives. They were released in 2009 or prepared for release in 2009. So it's been a number of years that they've been waiting. There's been a sense of despair, particularly because one of the detainees is in the middle of a fight that's in the court, asking that he no longer be force-fed.
He's been a Syrian man
who's been on a hunger strike sort of as a sign of his despair. If I'm in this limbo, if I'm never going to get out, if I've been cleared for release and I'm not going to get out for all these years, then I've just given up. And it was his protest. And so it's a big deal that he's gotten out. The court case will still go forward. So that's one thing we know. But what we know is that the Obama administration is being very aggressive now about trying to empty those that it can get out of Guantanamo. Of the original 86 that were cleared for release, they've now released almost 20 of them recently, and they have another almost 70 to release that have already been cleared for release. It's a huge challenge, and the South American front may be a new front in this, and so we'll see what happens.
Well, you say a new aggressive approach by the administration. I guess you wouldn't know anything about this necessarily, but we can presume that there's probably a pretty steep quid pro quo for Uruguay to take these detainees and any other governments who line up for this.
Well, yes and no. In the case of Uruguay, this outgoing president, they've just had an election, was a political prisoner himself. And I think that very much he may identify with these detainees. And so who knows what the quid pro quo may have been. There may have not. But it seems that he really did have a very deep personal sense of responsibility to help out. So it's country by country.
And a lot of people are asking the question, what does the release of these six mean for the fate of the other 136? And that's, you know, an easy question to ask, but not an easy one to answer, because the facts surrounding these 136, what category they're in, is not necessarily known even to the government.
Roughly half of the remaining 136 are individuals who have been cleared for release. Those individuals, we can tell or we assume from the aggressive behavior of Clifford Sloan, who's heading this effort for the Obama administration, will be released, I believe, by the time Obama leaves office. But that does not solve the problem of the remaining half, which is just under 70. Half of those are scheduled for some kind of military commission. That's the assumption. But the other half are indefinite detainees. These are war detainees that the Obama administration says are too dangerous to release. So how they're going to close Guantanamo with that category remains a question.
From a legal perspective, are these people more like the targets of the SEAL Team 6 operation in Yemen in the sense that they're being held as hostages from your perspective rather than actual detainees and criminal suspects?
No, I don't think of them as hostages. I think of them as individuals who, for whatever reasons, the United States has decided they don't know, either don't know enough about them or think they know enough about them that they don't want to charge them because they don't have evidence, but they don't want to release them because they're afraid they'll return to hostilities. So it's not really a hostage situation, is it? There isn't really anything they want for them in return. There doesn't seem to be any reason they would agree to release them. However, having said that, Obama has shown an indication to reconsider that list over and over and to whittle it away if it's possible. And he has done so in the case of one individual relatively recently.
There's a lot of talk about the administration acting alone in the last years of the second term, and certainly we've seen an inclination to do that on immigration policy. Do you think the president is capable of, on his own, enacting executive orders that would release the rest of the detainees without getting Congress's approval?
He could. I hope he does. But Congress's ban on, renewed on bringing the detainees to the United States is a huge impediment. Now, could Obama veto that? He could. But it's hard to see him actually unilaterally contravening Congress and bringing these individuals to the United States. Remember, A number of them are being scheduled to be tried for military commission, including the 9/11 detainees. What is he going to do about the fact that the military commission process is really finding it impossible to proceed?
Finally, within the legal community and folks who watch this, how many of the detainees would be much cheaper and easier detained in the United States in some sort of prison
current
facility?
Estimates are that it's $2.7 million per detainee at Guantanamo Bay to hold them there. That is an extraordinary number compared to under $100,000, well under $100,000 for each individual prison mate in the Bureau of Prison Systems here. So the calculation in terms of finances is extraordinary, and it doesn't seem to matter to Congress.
Karen Greenberg is director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School, talking about the 6 to 8 detainees who were transferred from Gitmo to Uruguay this weekend and the implications for the, let's remind you, 136 remaining detainees. Karen, thanks as always.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.